Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. Obviously, we've been asking which band would you like to see back together. This is after Destiny's Child have announced that they're going to do a few shows together. The main girl, Beyonce, she's calling the shots. But we put it out there, 0208 70 2558.
Yes.
I mentioned The Jam.
Yep. And I mentioned The Pudding.
Yeah. Because you're starving, hungry.
Listen, let me just put this out there.
Go on.
Rivitas. What's the point?
Yeah, cardboard. Why are you eating them?
Because I'm starving, and that's all posh boy head out there.
Okay. Why didn't you just eat a bit of carpet off the floor? It's exactly the same.
It really is.
John, we've been saying about some of the new signings. It's not really kicked off yet, and we've got till Thursday for things to happen. I think so many people leave this late. I was listening to our show at the weekend, and we were...
What were you bored?
I was bored, yeah.
Listening to yourself on the weekend.
No, but I was just saying, it makes sense, you know. As soon as the season finishes...
Yeah.
That's when you should start signing players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sign them up, do the medical, go away for 3 weeks, get a bit of sun to your face.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Get a bit of sun to your face, come back, do a bit of pre-season, meet the lads, meet the gang.
Meet and greet.
Right, okay. And then start the season. Leaving it to the last minute, absolutely ridiculous. We're joined now by James Rowe, Dutch football expert. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, fellas. Nice to speak to you both again.
Nice to speak to you, James. Do you know what I was just going to say to Bill? You got it wrong. It's the morning. Of course, it's.
Oh, we're an hour ahead here in Amsterdam.
No, it's okay. It's the afternoon here too. Afternoon. Don't worry, I've got it wrong.
Okay.
Listen, Newcastle signed the left back Jethro Willems on Friday on loan from Eintracht Frankfurt. He's got 22 Netherland caps. What will he bring to the Premier League?
I think what he'll bring to the Premier League is his experience. He's physically very strong.
He's only 22.
But I mean experience in terms of his playing career so far. Yeah. He played many seasons here in the Netherlands for Sparta Rotterdam and also PSV Eindhoven. He then made a transfer to Eintracht Frankfurt and had good experience in the Bundesliga. He was part of the Frankfurt team that won the German Cup. So he's experience in that respect, and also with his international career. He's a very physical defender. He likes to change it up and rough it up a little bit. He won't shy away from 50-50 balls and that kind of thing. And I think he can also provide Newcastle with some much-needed width, because when he goes forward, he likes to attack with natural width, putting in accurate crosses on a regular basis.
Mm. Yeah. It's been a delay with him coming to the Premier League, hasn't there? Because one of them both came over to England.
Well, I think it also depends on that you see in this case that Frankfurt have decided to loan him out. A lot of it, also being in a position that I am, fellas, to interview professional players and managers on a regular basis, you also understand the ins and outs of it, where players, you know, maybe fall out of favour at some clubs, or a new manager comes in that plays a completely different system where players are maybe marginalised. And it can all result in, towards the end of the transfer window, a player leaving on a loan move or a permanent move. And also factoring the personal lives as well. You know, some have families where children are at school and they want to take that into account as well. So although it could be a delayed move, or you expected him to come a lot sooner than he actually did, I think most times they're always trying to make sure that it's the best decision for them personally, in order to make the right decision to improve their careers in that respect.
Yeah. I mean, now what about Bournemouth? They've signed the winger Danjuma from Club Bruges. Not many goals in Belgium. What will he bring to the Cherries?
Well, he came through the youth ranks, fellas, at PSV Eindhoven, and he didn't really come to fruition, didn't really kick on until he went to NSV Nijmegen. And he provided, he's got electric pace, and he's also got a young head, an experienced head on young shoulders. And he was pretty much a late bloomer in that respect. And I think him starting at Bournemouth in the Premier League is a very interesting move, because it's not going to be a bridge too far for him. I think he'll be able to settle in nice and steadily. If he was going to maybe a top six club, for example, it may well be a bridge too far. But I think he's chosen his club very, very carefully. And I think with his age and also his pace, that he can provide a good outlet for Bournemouth.
Yeah, lots of players have come through at PSV. We had heard a lot about Ajax, but do PSV get enough credit?
That is a really, really interesting observation. A very, very interesting observation. You could say that they don't, but they've also, you know, being one of the big three clubs here, they have in recent years tried to invest more deliberately in the South American transfers. So it may well be that the South American players that have came through, the likes of Lozano, who's been linked with Napoli lately, and Andres Guardado, who's now playing for Real Betis, they deliberately wanted to delve into the South American market, which may well came at a cost of the young Dutch players. But I think it's a great observation you've given there. And all the big clubs, the big three here in the Netherlands, they pride themselves on giving youth a chance, and you could well say, do PSV get enough credit? I don't actually think they do, but that's my personal opinion.
Just going back to Danjuma, obviously was talking about him before, he's only 22. Does he have the potential to develop a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it depends on his, on how much game time he gets at Bournemouth and how regularly he plays. But when his confidence is up, you saw that in, I think, coming through the PSV youth system and going on to Nijmegen, where he managed to get games. He blossomed very, very quickly. So when he's playing regularly, it's very much a confidence player, where his confidence is up and he'll want to show his best. But I think it's a good move by Bournemouth, and a good decision by the player as well.
Yeah, Bournemouth obviously signed centre back Nathan Ake, could be off it to Leicester to replace Harry Maguire. Is he one of the best young defenders in the league?
Well, I think so. I think you see his experience and his presence now at international level, where he scored goals in friendlies. I remember him scoring against Italy, and he's been given more of an opportunity at international level. He left the Netherlands at a very young age, coming through the likes of the youth set up at Feyenoord and Ado Den Haag as well in The Hague. And I think that he's being rewarded now with his experience in the Premier League. And he's also a very intelligent player. And I know that he was also linked with Tottenham not so long ago. So I don't know if it's the fact of Maguire potentially leaving Leicester, but names are being linked. But maybe he's hoping for maybe a top six club, for example, to get in with a shout of Champions League football to further his career. But so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming days.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes partners Virgil van Dijk for the national team, which is a proper pairing, really, isn't it? Will he be a starter for the Netherlands next year at the Euros?
Quite possibly. I think Koeman is continuing with the way he wants to go about his business with building a competitive squad. But you see the fruits of the loins now with better players coming through, a more cohesive team. And I think he's just looking to add to that bit by bit as the games roll on in the autumn, in order to gain more experience, in order to be ready, in order to qualify, first and foremost, because you have to remember that this is a nation that missed Euro 2016 and the World Cup in 2018. So the first and foremost, that although there's green shoots in terms of talented players, it's about qualifying first and foremost, and then building a competitive team in order to compete at the tournament itself.
Now, that Ajax team from the Champions League last year are being ripped limb to limb, aren't they, at the moment? Man United have now made an offer for Neres. What are they going to do? They're going to get rid of everybody?
No, I don't think they're going to get rid of everybody. I think that wouldn't be very intelligent. But they obviously, you see, with the, it was known that De Jong was going to leave. It was Matthijs de Ligt has gone on to Juventus. The experienced Lasciona, who's a very good dead ball specialist, has signed for Genoa in Italy. And the latest reports here in the Netherlands tell us is that Van der Beek is very close to signing for Real Madrid. So, but I think, you know, they invested well, Ajax, in the South American market, and also domestically with signing the young defender Kik Pirdy from Heerenveen. So they will be okay, and you know, they I think they'll have a contingency plan in place. But it's about getting the right prices for the players, and because they spent so much time and effort training these players up to be the best of their ability,
yeah,
that they want to recoup some of that money in the transfer market.
Yeah, James, listen, before you go, we're asking today, now Destiny's Child, the band Destiny's Child, are getting back together. Now, we're asking everybody, all of our guests, what if you could have a dream band to get back together, who would it be?
Well, that stumped me a little bit, because I've been away for such a long time.
There you go. No. Oasis, that's fine, because that's been a popular one today.
Yeah.
Oasis has been popular. Yeah, no. I think it's the given, though, isn't it, Oasis?
Yeah.
I think most people would like to see Oasis, yeah. There aren't really many others that you can think of.
I would say so. It stumped me as a question, because obviously I was born and raised in the UK, but I've been living in the Netherlands for such a long time that you kind of fall out of sync a little bit.
No, so
in
order
to give a question straight away.
Are there no Dutch bands over there, then?
There are. The Golden Earring are quite well.
Golden Earring, of course. Well, yeah.
They're quite well known. They're still performing at times, I believe.
Are they,
but,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just quickly, James, how long have you been living over there?
I've been here for nearly 14 years.
14 years. There we are, you see.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could go into it. James, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll be talking to you as the season progresses. James Rowe there is a Dutch football expert, and he must be, because he's been there for 14 years.
Certainly is. That was lucky. lucky we asked him about some of the Dutch signings then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you say anything Dutch to go to the break?
It's quite a sort of...
Erdy birdy in it? What is it?
Erdy girdy.
No, Erdy.
Sort of Swedish, isn't it?
Is that Swedish?
Dutch is sort of like... Oh,
yeah, no.
It sounds like the...
Myers did it. Do you remember Gold Member?
Did he?
He did a brilliant... Gold Member was Dutch. I am Dutch.
There you go.
There you go. That's it. There you go.
Yeah, that's quite good.
I'm Dutch.
See? I knew you could do it.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to Bell and Sperling, and we've been asking you which band would you like to see back together. 0208 70 25 58. We've mentioned The Jam, we've mentioned Police,
and mentioned Oasis. I mean, really and truthfully, Oasis are they given, aren't they? There aren't many others. Who would you like to see?
The Stones are still together.
You know, Level 42, they're together.
They're still together. What about
Duran Duran? They're still together.
Rod Stewart and the Faces are sort of they're still. No, he actually is not. Do you know Rod was going to get back with the Faces and do it with Ronnie Wood and Denny Lane and whatever? Mick Hucknall
did it.
I mean, that's wrong, isn't it?
What is that one about?
Can't have that.
That's shocking.
It's not the idea, is it?
No, it's not exactly Rod Mick Hucknall, is it?
John, just we didn't touch on this. Prince Harry enjoys £50 pedicures after the sixth in line to the throne gave a barefoot speech at a climate convention last week. It emerged that he enjoys regular spa days with Meghan. You ever have pedicures and manicures?
Well, in fact, I did go to a chiropodist.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday.
Oh, yeah, was it?
And fantastic.
Really?
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
And what happened?
Well, he just sorted my feet out.
What was wrong with
him? I had a couple of calluses.
Oh,
yeah, nasty, yeah.
Yeah.
And but apparently, I asked him, and they said the calluses, they just keep coming back due to the high pressure on your foot.
Right.
So you have to keep, you know, you have to keep them...
I told that story...
Keep them scraped.
I told that story at the weekend that about where I asked you three questions about me.
Yeah.
And you asked... Three about you.
About me, yeah.
I think we do that again today at the end of the show.
Okay.
And we didn't know each other's feet size, even though we've been together 26 years.
No.
And I you thought I was a 9.
Yeah.
And I'm a 7.5.
And we didn't know each other's middle names.
Didn't know each other's middle names.
That's mad. 26 yeah. years.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like the fact that really you wear a size 9, But really, the length of your feet is a 6.
Well, it's not a 6. It's about a 7. Yeah.
It's about a 7, but you wear a 9 because it's wider.
It's what, I've got a wide foot.
You certainly have. It's great, isn't it? It's like, you get, they're like snowshoes, aren't they, your feet?
See, one thing I didn't like about the... when they do the... They do this thing on your you know, your nails.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes...
Oh, done.
I'm going, whoa, there, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. What was he, an electrician, the fella?
So, way up there, small pony. Oh, so it just vibrates really.
Yeah.
So I don't like that sensation.
Well, I've got from a football injury, I've got no toenail on my right foot.
Okay. That's right.
So it was an ingrained toenail. It sort of dug down because of the injury. It got stamped on.
Yeah.
And so now I've got no toenail. And it's really horrible when you wear flip flops. Because as soon as you have a chat to anybody, a girl or anyone, but if we meet,
go on.
Yeah, and they look down, they go, oh, what's happened there then? I try to avoid it.
I collect
sand.
As you know, don't wear flip flops.
No, you shouldn't wear flip flops.
But you know, I'll tell you why.
Why?
The gap between my big toe and the other toe next to it is really big. It's a big gap.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just wear a flip?
No, I'd rather wear a flop. If I was going to wear anything, I'd wear a flop.
Why have you got such a big... That's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't believe
we've
got a
guess.
Gap. There you go. Okay, John. Now, listen, Priti Patel gave her first interview as Home Secretary to the Daily Mail over the weekend.
Yeah.
In it, she denied backing the death penalty, but she said she wants to crack down on violent crime. Now, we've been debating this for weeks about knife crime, and I said that I was in Edmonton yesterday. Road was closed off because yet another stabbing.
Yep.
It's just beyond belief. And I know that we're talking about getting another 20,000 police, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
We're joined now by Sebastian Whale, political editor for The House Mag. Good afternoon, Sebastian.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you, and you?
Very good, very good.
Yes, very good.
Now, what did you make of this? I mean, I suppose that the big story is whether, Priti Patel's interview, she denied backing the death penalty. And just tell us what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, she seems to be trying to face both ways a little bit on that, because there are two different examples of where she did actually come out and back it, and one of them was on Question Time. In 2011, she said she's not an active supporter and never has been an active supporter, but just happens to support it. So I guess, you know, it's kind of the same difference, really. But at the end of the day, it would have to take more than just Priti Patel to change the law on capital punishment. So even though she's Home Secretary,
it would have to
take a majority of MPs to change the law in that way anyway.
Yeah, the only thing, like, we've been going on about it on the Bell and Spooner show for some months now. We've continued knife crime and stabbings, and I did say that there's no real deterrent, and I said that, you know, I liken this in a strange way, that I said if you put your hand on a hot plate, you know that you're going to burn your hand.
Yeah.
And these days I see these kids stabbing people and they don't really know what is going to happen to them, because it's very grey area.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's two approaches to this, isn't there? It's the reason, you know, why are they carrying knives? Why are they turning to crime? That's the, you know, one element of it. And then how do you deal with it and get the knives off the streets? And often they're not looked at in the same context. And with Priti Patel, you know, the, as you mentioned, the extra hiring of 20,000 police officers and her more draconian approach, she's more interested in how you get the knives off the street than perhaps what the Labour Party and Liberal Democrats would do, which is to look at how you change the fundamentals in society that sort of that kind of crime. So it's two different approaches, and I appreciate it does evoke quite emotional responses. Knife crime has soared. You've had acid attacks in London, particularly last year. I remember there was a huge spate, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And you have this kind of violent crime that has risen in recent years, and there's no denying that.
Yeah. I mean, look, she's said that she wants criminals to feel terror. What is she going to implement practically?
Well, I think, you know, you need to look at what they've said on relaxing stop and search restrictions for police officers. She's going to have probably more bobbies on the beat, less, you know, zero tolerance approach with first time offenders, which is a very different, you know, there's a marked difference from what was happening under Theresa May and David Cameron. I think it's more moving back towards that more, you know, traditional right wing approach to crime in zero tolerance and just trying to cut it at source. the critics would say, of course, that on the flip side, you're not dealing with the underlying issues, and that doesn't necessarily, it might prevent it from an immediate kind of on-the-street perspective, but it could manifest itself elsewhere. Or, you know, in terms of tackling it for future generations, it might not solve the issue.
Mm. I mean, obviously, extra 20,000 police, that's the big selling point. Would you say that the Tories are backtracking after Theresa May got rid of most of them as Home Secretary?
Yeah, I think it's trying to make up for the 21,000, I think, that went over the period of austerity. Yeah, I think it's obviously appealing to a certain group of voters, particularly perhaps Brexit Party voters who would traditionally be more concerned with this aspect of domestic policy. And there's no doubt, you know, the Police Federation has been saying for a long time they haven't had enough resources, they haven't had enough money, like, you know, many public services, and it's trying to prove, you know, get the Tories' mantle of law and order back in the centre of their pitch to voters. As I say, the critics would say they've gone from one extreme to the other. But it's they're definitely trying to make that pitch of, you know, that kind of traditional conservative values of defending the streets and cutting down on crime.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation about what sort of Home Secretary she's going to be. She was a committed Thatcherite. Do you expect her to be quite radical?
Well, she was definitely the most eye-catching appointment, I'd say, and you're right to describe her. She's an unabated Thatcherite. She's really nice. She's a very pleasant person, but she does have slightly more, perhaps, to some people, retrograde views on certain things. Mm. I think she was opposed to the same-sex marriage and what have you. So that, you know, that she's not necessarily completely caught up with the Cameroon sort of modernising Conservative Party in that respect. Mm. But I think as much as anything, she will be kind of Boris's person in the Home Office, and because she'll be in charge of immigration policy. And
well, Boris, yeah, actually, I was going to say that. Obviously, she was a big Brexiteer. As a Home Secretary, will she have a big role in sort of reshaping that immigration policy?
Yeah, well, that should be her responsibility. And she signalled that she would still favour sort of high skilled immigration from overseas, but it looks like she's targeting the sort of low to middle skilled jobs. As a means of clamping down on the numbers and trying to promote sort of UK jobs in that respect, but of course Boris is very liberal on immigration. That's the slight divergence between them, and so I don't necessarily think that she will overrule him in that regard. He will want to have a sort of liberal immigration policy. He's talked about an Australian style points based system, and I think the two would work together on that. I don't think she's going to be someone who sort of charts her own course in the Home Office without sort of the green light from number 10.
Mm. And what about the by-election in Brecon last week? You know, it's brought Boris back down to a majority of one. How's that going to affect him in the Commons?
Yeah, I mean, it's a worse majority of one. The thing is, there are quite a few independent MPs in the mix now for various reasons who would probably with the government on Brexit issues. There's a couple of Labour MPs, and there's Charlie Elphick, who's just been made an independent again. He's lost the Conservative whip. I mean, look, all signs point towards a general election. That is the bottom line. It's just it's a matter of when, because, of course, that, you know, a working majority of one is no means to sort of run a government. And there have also been a number of Conservative MPs who've sort of threatened to defect to try and scupper his plans to pursue a no-deal Brexit. So, as I say, I think all signs point towards a general election, but Boris would not want to go to the polls to voters without having seen through the first stage of Brexit, because he knows that if he does that, the Brexit Party will be waiting in the wings. So I think it's just a matter of when, and trying to leave by the 31st of October, as he has, you know, said he will do, come what may, do or die.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the general election. I mean, the Lib Dems won the seat through a Remain alliance. I mean, do you think this technique will be effective on a larger scale if we're going to a general election?
My instinct is no. Because when you try and apply it to a larger scale, party politics will get in the way. And it works if you sort of isolate it by constituencies. But obviously there are 650 constituencies to go for. And I think trying to get all parties to agree where they will and will not stand It's going to be a very complicated thing, full of egos, full of party allegiances, because obviously you are ultimately denying voters in those areas who might well be loyal Lib Dem supporters or loyal Green Party supporters an opportunity to vote for their party. And I think you know, it's shown how effective it can be. My instinct is that they're doing an analysis at the moment of about 100 to 200 seats where they could try and replicate this thing, whereas only one of the Remain supporting parties stands. But if you end up in a situation where the analysis says, well, the Lib Dems are probably best suited to stand in all those seats, then I don't think you're going to get, you know, everyone else just going, okay, well, fair play, we'll just leave you to it, because they're, you know, they are ultimately competitors. And I think, you know, how long Brexit will supersede all of those other factors in elections, I'm not sure. And it's a very interesting test case. I get trying to extrapolate that onto a national scale is a lot more complicated and a lot more nuanced.
Lastly, obviously, Boris hasn't made any big gaffes of recent, and the polls seem to be quite kind to him. How long will that last?
That's a good question. Yeah, no, you're right. He's lasted about 10 days and without too many major gaffes. I wish I think of the personal record.
He hasn't rugby tackled any children yet. That's
what's no, happening. Yeah. Well, you know, so it's plenty more weeks to go before the summer's out. But yeah. No, I think obviously he's got a good team around him. He's surrounded by people he knows. A lot of former Vote Leave campaign staff, which is obviously the leading Brexit campaign. So I think he's got enough people around to sort of keep him on track. But obviously with Boris, you know, something's never too far away. Yeah, but I think, you know, the truth of the matter is September, when MPs return, it's going to be a lot different than it is now. It's quiet now, but people will come back very motivated, very rested, wanting, you know, different things to happen. The people who don't want Brexit to happen will be trying to think of ways in which they can pursue that in Parliament, and it's just going to be pure carnage. So it might seem like it's all calm now, but I think it's very much a case of a calm before the storm.
Wonderful. Sebastian, before you go, we've been doing it on our show today. This is ahead of Destiny's Child are getting back together, and we're asking people, what band would you like to see get back together? Anyone that springs to mind for you?
Well, Oasis, I think. Interview by Noel Gallagher.
Yeah. Third person today, Oasis.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I think most people would like to see it.
We're gonna put it to them. I think we know a few people behind the scenes involved with them. We'll get it to them. Sebastian, thanks ever so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Sebastian Whale, their political editor, The House Mag.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you see on your Facebook, it posts up, this is what you were doing a year ago or 2 years ago, share your Facebook memories.
Oh, yes, that thing that comes up. Yeah.
Well, the other day it came up, and a year, it's our anniversary at Love Sport.
Oh, it is. You're right. Yeah. You didn't even get me a present.
No.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
This week in Miami, right? Did I tell you I'm going there tomorrow? Right.
I did have a clue, yeah.
First 3 days, it will be my 10-year anniversary to my wife.
Is it? Yeah.
10 years.
Is it really 10 years?
Yeah. So we're going to celebrate on South Beach. And she said to me the other day, what year did we get married?
I know what
Do
year.
What? What are you talking about? Couldn't believe she forgot what year it was.
2009.
She said, what year did we get married, Dave?
Ha ha ha.
Oh, dearie me.
It's 2009.
2009, of course it was. 10 years ago. Yeah. I said, listen, Cheryl. She said, my name's Nicola. I said, well, you started it. There you go. John, there's a great story.
Good
and
day,
this
that was your wedding. Wasn't it?
Great day. I kick around the coconuts, play at my wedding.
I know.
The kicker. Not a lookalike.
Yeah, but let me tell you.
Go on.
Better than that, you had Bell and Sperling.
Oh,
wedding.
Yes, we sang as well, didn't we?
Of course we did. Mm. See, we weren't going to... I'll never forget. I'm standing here in the audience watching you.
Yeah.
You've only gone and tried... You were going to sing Golden Balls on your own.
Was I really?
Yeah.
Was you there?
Yes. I'm standing there... And Bradley, our friend Bradley Curtis went, shouldn't you be up there and all?
Did I start singing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was. To be fair, I started drinking around about 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was in my back garden, so I felt at home. I could do what I like. Listen, we're going to Florida. Now, I have said to a few mates...
How hot's it going to be?
It's hot, but you get storms, don't you?
Yeah, but that's even worse, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Humidity.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You get a few years back... 20 years back, in fact, me and the boys playing golf in Doral, the course Doral, and it took us 7.5 hours to play around the golf because we'd play a hole and then it'd rain.
That's how long it normally takes you, isn't it?
No.
Well, let me tell you something.
4.5 hours.
Once in my bear, I went out with the boys and you went to golf.
Yeah. You drove the buggy, didn't you?
No, I didn't go. I stayed in the
villa.
You went out at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? I had nothing to eat all day long. By half past 11 at night, you still weren't back.
No, that's right.
You'd gone out, you got back, I was pacing the floor.
What, you couldn't go out by yourself, mate?
Well, you boys said to me, don't you do anything, don't you dare eat, because we're coming back, we're going to eat.
Yeah.
No mobiles in those days, probably. No,
we knew that you were waiting.
Yeah, I know.
I think we'd eaten 3 times that day. By the way, when you go to Florida, obviously you hear about, you know, we're going to get a little boat out and Naples and stuff, and you get the dolphins come up to the boat.
Nice.
But you also get alligators and crocodiles, don't you? Okay, in the marshes.
Miami twice, Del Boy and Rodney.
Right, there you go.
They get chased by crocodiles, don't
they? And I've been asking various people, some of the beaches, are we allowed to swim in them because of the sharks? Right, I don't want jaws happening.
No.
So there is a bit of a worry, but there's this story that's come out, John.
Yeah.
Crocodile myth comes true.
Yeah.
A crocodile skeleton has been found beneath the floorboards of a school after the story of its existence... was dismissed for years.
Where is the school?
Hang on. The reptile is believed to have been given to the school by a World War I soldier in the 1920s. Now, whether this is true or not, okay, is there any myths that you can think of that...
any myths?
Yeah, that have come true.
No. Well, I can't think of any.
Right. Should leave that.
That's that one, isn't it?
All right.
That's the end of that.
Difference between a crocodile and an alligator?
They look different. I don't know.
There's not a lot, though, is there?
I don't think there is.
Can you think? I'm trying to think what the... I mean, they both look like that, don't they?
Yeah. They're both flat.
Got a long...
They're weird-looking things.
What a long face, you know?
They're weird-looking things.
Different.
Horrible things, aren't
okay,
they?
Okay, hang on. Here's another one. Is another one that I'll give you along that line.
Yeah.
That I can never remember the real answer. Elephants are in India and Africa.
Well, okay. There's a myth.
Hang on.
Go on.
Which one of them has got tusks? One of them hasn't.
Say that again. Say it again.
The Indians in India.
Yeah.
And then you've got elephants. Sorry.
The Indians are in India. No, yeah, that's you're quite right.
Elephants. The Indian elephants.
Yes.
Are different to the African elephants because one of them's got tusks.
The African elephants have got tusks.
You sure?
Very much.
You sure? When was the last one you saw?
I don't know, but I know that African elephants have got tusks.
Okay.
Because they're the more common ones, aren't they?
Okay. All right. Oh, we're going to find that out. Producer Laurie's going to make sure about that one.
Hang on a minute. You mentioned elephants. Mm. There's a myth. Elephants never forget.
I can't remember. What do you mean?
Apparently... Yeah. Elephants don't forget.
Oh, that's true.
They've got the best memories.
I don't know
how they know that.
I've got this. Alligators have wider U-shaped snouts. A bit like yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Crocodile snouts are more V-shaped and pointy. A bit like me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alligators live in fresh water.
Ah.
Right, unlike you.
Yeah.
Crocodiles live in salt water. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Johnny Sperling's live in dirty water.
Yeah. Always dirty water.
Dish water.
Funny thing is, though, there is a reason...
How many Johnny Sperlings are there? There's only one, isn't
there? There's only one.
Yeah.
Well, and he's not extinct yet.
No. He's certainly not. Oh, I can smell him from here.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so obviously we're going to Florida, and I do worry about the old crocodiles. You see them on the golf courses, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know? And some of them are low handicappers.
Well, you would be handicapped, wouldn't you, being that small?
All African...
That near to the ground?
Hang on. All African elephants have tusks. And
I knew that.
This has annoyed me a little bit, because I always thought that the Asian ones didn't have tusks, but some of them do. They've started growing them, haven't they?
Started growing them.
You know what's happened there?
Well,
they've seen that lot over there, haven't they?
Oh, hang on a minute.
See the African ones?
They got tusks. We'll have some of that.
We'll have some of that.
What'd you get? Was a couple of pills on take?
Steroids.
Tusk pills.
Yeah, tusk pills, yeah. Tuskoids. This is what's happened. Asian elephants, big headline. Asian elephants are taking tuskoids. It's the new steroid for tusks.
Tuskoids.
Have you seen him?
They're banning them. Banning all the Indian...
Asian elephants.
Yeah, they're trying to grow tusks.
Yeah.
Cheeky little things.
Yeah, not allowed to do any running races. He was banned. He's on Nandra Tusk. Oh, dearie me. Where's it gone wrong?
I don't know. Where's it going? I'll tell you what, though.
Listen, people are much better listening to this show than watching that cricket.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Especially when you've got things like Nandra Tusks hanging about.
Aren't you going to miss this every day for 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, no.
Is it 2.5? You know, are you?
No, not really. No, I am. I'm going to listen to you while I'm laying on South Beach.
Well, that's nice of you. Thank you very much.
I will listen to the show.
Well, you'll phone in as well, wouldn't you?
Of course I'll phone in, yeah.
Wind me up. Tell me how great it is out there.
Yep. Now, I haven't been to Miami for 20-odd years.
Yeah. I remember the last time we went.
Last time we went, I was very, very fortunate enough that our very good mate, Teddy Sheringham, hired a couple of Ferraris for us. Me and the other boys, we had about £4 between us, and these two Ferraris pulled up outside the hotel, and we went, what are they? Those Ferraris. And we went, what are the chances of seeing two Ferraris outside the hotel? And lovely Teddy said, well, they're ours. Beautiful, eh? So there you go. And so I don't think we're doing that this week. I think an old Dodge worth about 10 quid that we've hired for 3 weeks. What about this one, John? The EU's £1 trillion secret weapon.
Mm.
What do you think it is?
I haven't got a clue.
Well, go on, have a guess.
I can't.
Have a guess.
What do you think it is?
I'm just looking for it. The EU's £1 trillion secret weapon. Whitehall officials are worried that the EU is storing up £1 trillion, right? £1 trillion tax bill in case the exit talks go against them. So Tory MP Marc Francois said they can whistle for it.
Oh.
Quite like it. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we've got to pay this.
Don't say they can whistle for it.
Well, by the way, a trillion, right?
A trillion.
Okay. There's a bit of a dispute. I think the Americans have a bit of a dispute over whether a trillion is... Whether it's 1,000 billion or it's 100 billion.
A trillion would be 30 billion, wouldn't it?
No.
It's got
Producer Laurie. No, I saw this earlier.
It's a three.
But I did see this earlier, and there was a bit of a discrepancy as to what a trillion is.
Well, it's three of something.
It's more than you've got.
Yeah. Right? It's three of something. It's three.
No, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised, and Producer Laurie is now looking it up. Yeah. And that's obviously on top of the 39 billion that we've got to give them as a better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't you find it fascinating when politicians talk in billions and stuff? You know, the country owes like 50 billion.
Yeah.
I mean...
Where's it gone?
I don't care. I'll be honest with you. I'll be perfectly honest, mate. I couldn't give a stuff.
No.
I ain't going to have to pay it back.
No. That's always.
What's going to happen to me if we don't pay $50 billion back?
Well, you'll end up like Greece.
I don't think you will.
You don't?
You just keep owing it. It's just like a never-ending thing that you keep owing. See, we only owe $50 billion, so I'll pay them next month.
I think, yeah. Right? Because you're one of those. You are one of those people that go, that's the way I face, right? See that? That's the way I face. I don't know what's going on behind me.
Yeah.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice thing to have.
Well, I'll be honest with you. What I can't do anything about. I don't worry about.
So you
that's a fact.
Would you not become a protester? About something.
It depends if I'm really passionate about it.
Mm.
But there's not much I'm that passionate about, apart from, you know,
I know what happened.
The gun laws and the
yeah, but that you.
But that's a given, isn't it?
You would be the one. They go right. We're protesting something you're really passionate about. Go Sunday.
Yeah.
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to be protesting at Parliament Square.
No.
You turn up about one, go, my train was late.
Oh, no, you're wrong there. I wouldn't turn up.
Wouldn't turn up, would you?
No.
You'd phone them up in the afternoon and go, how'd it go?
Yeah. All right, was it?
Yeah. Where was you, John? We're all waiting for you.
Yeah. You know what? The train was late. Yeah.
Countdown was on.
Countdown much. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm one of them. If it don't affect me, I'm not really bothered.
Yeah,
you know, and I know that's not a good thing, but there are many people like it.
Mm.
If it don't bother me, I'm not, you know.
I know, there's only you and, just you. Just you.
You're not a bit like that, then?
Not really. No, I'd sort of...
Come off it. Shut your front door. Shut your front door, go, hey.
Shut me back that's door.
We're in here. My dad... Always used to do that. I think I got it from my dad a bit.
Right.
He'd say, this is our life. Close that door. Everyone's out there.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
This is us.
Yeah.
They're there. Nice way to be, I think. It's the only way you can be.
Well, that's where you got it. That's how you've got that.
It's the only way to be.
Mm.
Okay. Otherwise, everyone would be in your house.
That's what I'm saying. come down in the morning. Who's this lot?
Who's this lot?
Who's in the front room? 300 people in the living room.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't shut the front door, did we?
Yeah, well.
It's an old tongue twister, John. Yeah. In old-fashioned British counting, a million
yes.
used to be a billion.
Right.
Okay. All right. Mm. But in America, this is where I got it from.
Okay.
The old-fashioned British counting was a million used to be a billion. But in America, this would be a trillion.
Right.
Right. So our million was their trillion.
Right.
So 1,000 million is actually a billion.
Yes.
But a British trillion is not a billion. It's a million billion.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Just to recap on that one, right? I was right about it.
Go on, say it again.
Okay. I knew that us and the Americans had a different view as to what a trillion and a billion and a doodah was.
And the doodah.
Right. Why do we confuse it? We both speak the same language. Both speak English. It's called English.
Well, do you know what? There's a steward's inquiry on that.
Why?
That we speak the same language as the Americans.
Yeah, but...
They took our language and they simplified it for themselves.
Mm.
Didn't they?
Go on, give me an example.
Well, it's hard to think of an example, but they kind of simplified
about
everything.
Route? Root and route. They say route.
They say route.
Mm.
Let's go on the route. Yeah. There's no coffee in there. I know what you're doing.
I'm just waiting for Johnny Spooner to knock his coffee
I've already
over.
Knocked the water over, I know.
Yeah, you've knocked most things over.
It's incredible, actually. Your face, when you're looking at me, just waiting for me to do something.
Yeah, because...
To knock something over.
It goes back to what I said. That's the way you face. You don't realise all the mayhem that's going on behind you.
No.
Which
good,
you cause.
It's a good way to be, you know.
Well, it's good for you, but not for everybody else behind you.
No, that's right.
Old-fashioned British counting,
yeah.
Okay?
Go on.
A million
yeah.
used to be a billion.
Mm.
But in America,
yes,
that would be a trillion.
Right.
Okay,
that rhymes that.
So 1,000 million
yes.
is actually a billion.
Yes.
A British trillion
yes.
is not a billion.
No.
It's a million billion.
There we are.
All right?
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
I can't. I'm not even going to try.
It. Okay. The difference between 1 million...
Yeah.
And 1 billion.
Yeah.
Watch this, watch
this.
No,
I'm watching.
You're going to like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm going to like it.
The difference between 1 million and
yeah.
1 billion.
Yeah.
1 million seconds
yes.
is 11 and a half days. right?
1 million seconds.
One million seconds. It's 11 and a half days.
Is it?
But 1 billion seconds.
Yeah.
Is 31 and a half years.
So 1 billion seconds is 31 and a half years.
Yeah. Do you like it?
So I've been alive. We've been alive for about 2.5 billion seconds.
No, 1.5.
No, that's 31.
1.5 billion.
That's one. That's with your 31.
Hang on. 1 billion seconds is 31 and a half years. So you've been alive roughly 1.5 billion. Yeah.
Seconds.
Seconds.
No, it's 1.5. But it's 1.5 billion seconds. No. If you're 31, isn't it?
No. 1 billion seconds is 31 and a half years.
So you're putting another half a billion.
Yeah.
To make 53.
Ish, right? Ish.
I'm 53 next month, by the way.
How have you...
Yes.
...been alive 1.5 billion seconds? I'm going to tell you something now.
Go on.
I reckon you've only been alive about a billion of that.
That's quite true.
Most of it...
I've been asleep.
You've been asleep.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. You're not wrong.
It's true, isn't it?
Well, you do spend a lot of time asleep, don't you?
No, you spend more.
Not anymore. I did.
Okay.
I was half asleep for 20 years.
Yeah, you was, yeah. Yeah.
Not through any thought of my own, though.
Yeah. No thought of your own.
No thought of my own.
No.
Well, I suppose it was a bit.
Yeah, I think it was. speaking of millions and billions and trillions, Harry Maguire has just signed for 80 million.
Wow.
Signed to Man United. This has been going on for what seems like about 7 years.
10 years, yeah. Finally he's there.
He's finally done it.
I mean, we knew he was going.
We're joined now by Jamie Campbell from LCFC Live. Are you glad that this is finished now, Jamie?
Yeah, very much so.
But not happy though, Jamie, are you? Not happy.
Not happy.
Losing
him? Oh, it's just been dragged on for so long. I think every Leicester City fan is just relieved it's over and they can start planning for the future.
Yeah. Who's going to replace him, do you think?
It's difficult to say, you know. I mean, the talk of Nathan Ake and James Tarkowski were the two targets at the top of their shortlist. But the talk this morning is that Burnley want well over 40 million for Tarkowski and Bournemouth want a ridiculous 75 million for Ake.
Wow.
So they're not going to pay that. So they may go what they got until January if they have to. They can look abroad, people like Janae for Cathay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at your fixtures for August. So, you know, I mean, I always say Wolves are a dangerous side. They are quite dangerous because
they hunt in packs.
I mean, really and truly, though, really, you've got quite a good few fixtures, apart from Chelsea, who is second. You play them second. What do you think about? What do you think about the? That is right. I've looked at it right, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking.
Well, I know what you're doing. You're checking to see if I'm right. So what do you think? How do you think they're going to first of all do against Wolves?
Yeah, I think a good chance at home, opening day of the season. You're always going to fancy the home side, especially teams because of Leicester. With Wolves playing in Armenia, I think it's Armenia, like 3 days earlier.
Yeah.
Going to put them in a tough spot, isn't it? And I fancy the Foxes winning that one. To be fair,
do you think they're going to get? I was talking to someone last week about it. I fancy Leicester have been at least, you know, top. I think they could get top six.
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, there's so many good sides up there. Look at Everton and West Ham, who were strengthened well as well. I think Wolves will struggle for top seven this year because obviously they're in the Europa League and we know how difficult that is. But the Leicester, you know, they've got all the makings to finish top six. They've probably got to replace Maguire. With a good solid defender and a good investment again, but you know, top seven is very much possible. You know, you look at the players they brought in, Jose Perez, Yuri Tielemans, and that builds on top of a fantastic squad already.
Yeah.
It's just where the other sides like Everton and West Ham, like I say, have invested well as well. And if you're getting top six, you're relying on one of the big sides to have a bad season, like Chelsea or Manchester United, which is possible because you look at Solskjaer and Lampard too. Really improving managers, really. So if ever there was a season to do it, it might just be this season.
I'm just looking. It looks like you're going to play Man United September the 14th, I think. How do you think the fans, what the response will be to Harry Maguire?
I think it'll be a good one. You look at his attitude throughout this saga and it's been very good. You know, he's not put a transfer request in, which is always difficult because, you know, you know that you put a transfer request and you lose your bonuses and things like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because of that. But also, I do think he's got a lot of respect for Leicester City. And he has said he wants to go, yes, but only if Leicester get the fee they want. So he's looking after his new club and his old club, really, in the same time. And not every player does that, certainly not Leicester City, where we've seen players like Drinkwater and Mahrez sell the toys at the pram and not lost a lot of respect in the process. So I think he can only be respected. You're always going to get a banter.
I think it's nice when the fans, that when a player comes back to the club or they, you know, that they get clapped, you know, and especially him, he's a nice character, isn't he? I mean, do you think that Harry Maguire is worth it, what they've paid for him? You've watched him a lot, obviously.
Yeah, it's always difficult, isn't it? Because the transfer fees have gone so high. You compare him to the likes of De Ligt and Fleet, people like that, and it's difficult to say that he's worth 80 million. But then what's to say that, you know, we said this about Van Dijk of 75 million last summer, and he's gone on to be one of the best defenders in the world, really, in the first season at Liverpool. So I can say now that maybe he doesn't look like he's worth 80 million because he's maybe not as good as Varane or Sergio Ramos or Piqué or anyone else. But 2-3 years down the line, you know, this could be a real bargain. So I think it's difficult to say whether he's really worth 80 million.
Yeah. And what about Lewis Dunk from Brighton? Still an option or?
No, I think we sort of understand that they're not looking at Lewis Dunk now, or at least for now. They might revisit that now that they've got the court for Ake. But at the moment, he's sort of off the table. They may look abroad at the moment.
And Tarkowski, you mentioned earlier, he might seem expensive for a Burnley player, but he's played some great football at his previous club, Brentford.
Yeah, I mean, Tarkowski is a really good player, but, you know, 40-odd million, he's 26. It's just how far you can go. How much more can he develop? I don't know. It's very difficult to say when he's playing for Burnley and he's got his back against the wall week in, week out. He's not got that opportunity to play football on the floor like Brendan Rodgers is going to, so it's difficult to assess.
Yeah.
Nathan Ake is much more that kind of player. But like I said, he's probably going to come off the table now.
And how's the pre-season gone? Obviously, new signings with Perez and Tielemans playing alongside Maddison and Vardy. How have they performed in pre-season?
Yeah, really good, to be fair. I mean, Jose Perez has been really exciting. He's actually played sort of wide, but Brendan Rodgers is playing sort of really narrow wingers, so he's cutting inside. And it's an attractive system because when they go forward, they're almost like a front five because they've got a really advanced midfield with two wingers and a striker, with two attack midfielders, sorry. But, you know, there's always that risk when you've got sort of four or five players ploughing forward of how well can they handle it when teams come back at them.
Yeah.
They've got much more identity now under Brendan Rodgers. It's not counter-attack. They do like to keep the ball on the floor, and there is a lot of emphasis on keeping the ball. But, you know, how do you sustain that over the course of the season? Only time will tell, because we've not seen them play this kind of football before. So
no.
A lot of excitement with people like Tielemans and Perez and Maddison all on the same team. That's a lot of creativity in one team.
Yeah,
especially behind a striker like Vardy as well.
I think I love Maddison. I think he's a great player, and I think, you know, he's a creative player. So I think they'll enjoy playing, you know, having someone like Maddison in the team. What, just on this, Ake, I know that you mentioned him earlier. He could, you know, I mean, he could be playing in the Euros alongside Virgil van Dijk, I mean, as a proper pairing, but you don't think it's worth them splashing out the money. But there again, I suppose if you're saying that he's worth, you know, they're talking about 70 million, why would you sell Harry Maguire for 80 to go and buy somebody else for 70?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to spend 75 million, you know. Part of the reason behind Maguire is that, you know, they're building a new training ground. They're going to extend the stadium in the next couple of years, so they can reinvest some of that money and then put it into the club, you know, and help the club to grow. So, you know, only making a profit of 5 million is not really an option, especially when you think that Hull have got 10 million of sell-on clause from the Maguire deal.
Yeah.
Jim, we've got to go to a break, but very quickly, a band that, listen, Destiny's Child, are reforming, obviously for the money. If you had a choice, which band would you like to see reform?
Oh,
Come on.
Me on the spot.
We've been asking all our guests today, Jamie.
Come on, Jamie.
Oh, I've got no idea.
Go on.
Band the Split Up. I'm trying to think of Band the Split Up.
How about Bucks Fizz?
They all back together.
Beyond my years, I think.
These are hard questions.
Would you like to see Oasis back together?
Just for one gig.
One gig, one punch up.
One time only.
That's it, there you go.
Yeah, there we are.
Jamie, thanks for joining us. No doubt we'll speak to you throughout the coming season. Jamie Kemble there from LCFC.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Spurling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.